Good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to go ahead and call the Senate Finance Committee to order. Time is 3 minutes after 2 p.m., 14th of April, 2026. With me today is Chairman Hoffman, Chairman Olson, Senator Keel, Senator Merrick, Senator Kaufman, Senator Cronk, and myself, Stedman. We have one item of labor today, and that is going to be a discussion and then open up the committee for comments and amendments on Senate Bill 241, which is the FY27 capital budget for the state. And this is about half of it because the other body has their particular interest, and we've been working with them. But before we go into asking for amendments, which I've got a list here. I'd like David Scott. He's the aide to the Finance Committee on the capital budget, and I want him to walk through some of the items on the capital budget for those that missed the meeting yesterday and were curious on what is included in this bill. So, Mr. Scott, if you can introduce yourself for the record and walk us through some of these issues.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm David Scott. I'm staff to Senator Stedman, and I'm staff to the Senate Finance Committee. I'll start with the deferred maintenance lists, Mr. Chairman. And when I mean list, I mean the university creates a list, the judiciary creates a list, and the K-12 deed creates a list. So I'll start there. The first one will be the university. The CS in front of the members today has $17,130,000 towards the university. This funds the top nine projects on the university's list. So it's the top three projects at UAF, the top three at UAA, and the top three at UAS. So that money is spread around the state quite well, Mr. Chairman. We'll turn now to the judiciary's list. And in the CS, judiciary is funded $3.7 million. That is four projects.
And where do these lists come from?
Mr. Chairman, the university creates their own list. Right now, we're at the court system, the judiciary, they create their own list. When I get to deed here in just a minute, that list is created through deed and a process they have that they follow within their
And what does DEED stand for?
DEED stands, sorry, Mr. Chairman, DEED is the Department of Education and Early Development.
So these lists are created like the university's list is created with by working with the Board of Regents in the university, and they put a book together with operating and capital issues concerning the university, and that is that the list you're using?
That is, Mr. Chairman. The colloquially, we call that book the Red Book. It's what we call it here in the building. That is the book that the university puts together with the Board of Regents and their three main campuses, and they create the Red Book every year. It has their operating request, their capital request, and their deferred maintenance request.
And it is available online, and it's called a Red Book because it has a red cover?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. If somebody goes online and Googles University of Alaska Red Book, you'll find it. You'll find all of them from this year past 20.
Right, because that's what we want. We want the public to be able to find where these lists are, right?
Yeah, yes, sir.
And the judiciary, they do their own request or their own list. Is that right?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. The judiciary creates their own list.
Okay. And then on K-12, the major maintenance list, that is online also?
Mr. Chairman, it is. It is online. It's a little unwieldy to find on their website, but if you go to if you find their facilities webpage under the Department of Education Early Development, it's somewhat intuitive and you could be able to find it. It'll be labeled their CIP list. CIP is Capital Improvement Projects.
And then the other list that the committee worked with is the school construction list. That's also available to the public?
Mr. Chairman, that is also available to the, and you'll find it at that list will be found in the same place as their major maintenance list.
Okay. Okay, go ahead and continue.
I'll continue with the judiciary. Again, there's in the CS, there's $3,700,000 for the judiciary. This is their top four projects. Those projects are all in Anchorage. The first one is the Snowden Administration Building. The second project is the Anchorage Boney Parking Garage. The third is another project at the Snowden Administration Building. And the fourth project is at the Anchorage Boney Courthouse. Okay. Moving on to the major maintenance list. This is the K-12 list. There, in this budget, there is $45,329,000. This goes down the list 15 spots. The reason we could get down the list in 15 spots is the the second item on that list is a school that was funded at roughly $34 million. And that would have meant that we could only go down the list with this amount of funding down to project six. Because we lowered that item, the second item on the list, we were able now to go down to the 15th project.
Is there a secret what that item is? What is it?
The secret, no, sir, it's not a secret. It is Galena, and there's a real name for it, but the city is Galena. The name is the Sidney C. Huntington Elementary and High School renovation.
Okay.
Moving on to the other. The final list that we used was the school construction list. That comes from DEED, the Department of Education and Early Development. They have a list of schools that need replacement or construction. The school that is on the top of their list is Stebbins. And that school was destroyed by fire in 2024. And this budget has $17,500,000 to start the project. I'll move down now to, we're kind of getting off of lists now, Mr. Chairman, but I will move down the list. But ASME, the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, and ATIA are both allocated $4 million in this list, in this version before you. Also at the judiciary, there is a purchase of the Stratton Library from DEED. So the judiciary is going to be purchasing the Stratton Library from the Department of Education and Early Development. The reason for that is there's a need for a new courthouse in Sitka. And in discussions over several different past three or four, five sessions, Mr. Chairman, it's been agreed upon that this is the cheapest, the most cost-effective route for the state to go down for a new courthouse in Sitka.
And that came from the courts, correct?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Next item.
Moving down now, Mr. Chairman, I'm getting into the workforce development package that was put together. The Teamsters driving range, this is a driving range that they already own the land. This will be able to make improvements on the land and train for commercial driver's licenses. There's $3 million. That is located in Wasilla. The second item on the workforce development list here is $2 million to the Pipeline Training Center. This is in Fairbanks. The third item on the workforce development list is $1,680,000 to the Kenai Instruction Service Center. It's obviously in Kenai. The fourth and final on the workforce development package is $3 million for AvTech for equipment modernization and facilities upgrades. AvTech stands for Alaska Vocational Technical Center. It's located in Seward. Now we're getting to the package of the CPV grants, Mr. Chairman. Again, this is money that comes from the excise tax or the head tax that is placed on the cruise ships, cruise ship passengers. This money is The last time we have, the last time we appropriated any money out of this fund was 2020. So the way it works, I'll try to explain it here, Mr. Chairman, is every person is charged $5 a head for a port, and the money is dispersed to the first seven ports, but not every ship goes to seven ports. So when there's money left over, it builds up in this account. It's, and as I said, it's built up to $37.5 million over since 2020. The way we weighted this list, Mr. Chairman, is we took the last 3 years of cruise ship visitors per port, and then we took that and we took the $37 million and divided it on the weighted count of those communities, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Try again.
No, you did a weighted average of the last 3 years of cruise ship visitors. There was an adjustment to deal with a rock in Skagway because of its perilous position above the port. And I worked with the senator from Juneau on that to help alleviate that, and we added an extra million into Anchorage.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. And then go ahead and continue. Oh, and the restrictions.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. This funding is restricted by federal law. It's against the Constitution's tonnage clause for a state to create revenue streams from interstate commerce, from vessels traveling from one state to the other. And if a port or a state or a municipality does charge a fee, that fee has to go directly towards servicing the vessel or the passengers.
Okay. So the communities are going to have to work with the industry on those expenditures so we don't get too far astray and end up with legal issues. So okay, go ahead and the next section, the Mount Edgecombe.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, the next section is to Mount Edgecombe. The first project is $10 million. $10,206,000 for a dining hall renovation at MEHS at Mount Edgecombe. I think we've all heard the rat infestation there, and we're looking to address that. The second is $468,000 for furniture replacement. I don't remember if members remember, but we had pictures up on the screen here back in February of. It looked like they had chairs and couches and stuff that were well over 20 years old. Okay. The third project for Mount Edgecombe is to replace the windows on the boys and girls dorms. Okay. And there's two more minor projects, Mr. Chairman, one for $50,000. That's for mattress replacement. And the second one is $125,000 for the campus-wide laundry machine replacements.
Right, and other miscellaneous smaller items, vacuum cleaners and what have you. With discussions with a couple of the chairmen here, with the chief administrator of the state, he wanted Edgecombe dealt with in the budget. So we're dealing with it. Can you go on to the next project then? The REF project, whatever that is?
Yeah, the next appropriation is $5,265,000. That is to the Renewable Energy Fund.
$5 million.
$5,265,000. Okay. Sorry. And that is to the Renewable Energy Fund that will address the top three projects on their list. AEA administers the Renewable Energy Fund, and AEA through a committee, and that committee also includes members of the legislature. They score and create a list, just like the university or judiciary or education creates a list. And this is their list.
Okay.
That can be found on AEA's website if people are interested.
And we got a couple of adjustments we made dealing with some tank farms.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. The also on the list, the deed major maintenance list, the K through 12 list. Three projects. We reached down the list to Project 19, Project 29, and Project 61. These are all projects that require emergency tank farm repair. So, and what we did with this, Mr. Chairman, is we used SPAR funding, which is spill prevention and response funding, for these projects. The other body, in their operating budget, they transferred money from the SPAR account to the general fund, named it general fund money. So that's what we're doing here.
Okay, so we're taking the spill response money dealing with leaky tank farms to try to minimize the exposure there. So there, in essence, is the capital budget. There's been some concern, questions in the building where some of this stuff came from. I highly recommend those that have questions look at those lists. There'll be some school districts that aren't on the major maintenance list or have very little exposure. There's some that have been on it for years, and then there's some that have projects that are already finished that are on the list. But we are going right down the list with the adjustment that was mentioned earlier on Galena, and I think the other body will have another adjustment on a big school when they add to it. So we can attempt to get further down the list to the more our schools that have been unable to get up the list that are just continually to deteriorate. I think we had one school that actually fell down. So we're following all the lists as best we can. So they're in an overview of what's on the table. There's been, we're going to have a couple of amendments, and we'll go into that process. Does anybody have any questions on just the initial one before I go to amendments from the committee? Okay, seeing none. We're going to now go to amendments, and I'll make a motion to move amendment number, or you have Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment number one.
And I'll object for explanation.
Mr. Chairman, can we have a quick Eddie's?
We'll have a brief Eddie's. Back on the record, Senator Hoffman, you've moved amendment number one.
Yes.
And I've objected for explanation. Mr. Scott, what is amendment number one, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This adds another fiscal year to the NPRA language, which is the NPR, National Petroleum Reserve Alaska Impact Grant Program. The reason is to extend the time frame of the NPRA grant appropriation to FY26 and 27 to align with the language in the operating budget, which dictates the use of any remaining NPRA funding left after this appropriation.
Okay.
Just kind of more of a technical thing to align with the other budget.
Okay. Do we have any other questions on this? Okay, I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the adoption of Amendment Number 1. Do we have further objection to adoption of Amendment Number 1? Further objection? Seeing none, Amendment Number 1 is adopted. And I'll go to the next item. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Amendment Number 2.
And I'll object for discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Scott.
For the record, David Scott again. This amends the amendment changes the existing House district impact designation for Mount Edgecombe from House District 2 to a statewide designation. The reasoning behind this, Mr. Chairman, is that Mount Edgecombe is a statewide asset. It's not under the purview of the city and borough of Sitka or any other government entity in House District 2. Mount Edgecombe is subject to the State Board of Education and to the Commissioner of the Department of Education and Early Development. It's the only school that is wholly within the state's control, and its maintenance and operations are left to the state, and they're not subject to any local control. Mount Edgecombe cannot advocate for maintenance funding in the same manner as other K-12 schools. Mount Edgecombe competes for funding against all other state assets because it is a state asset. And Mount Edgecombe also serves students from across the state, and Mount Edgecombe's reach is statewide. And we're trying to make it make the House district impacts, or what we call the ED runs. ED stands short for election district runs, and we're to make those items more fair for all involved.
Or more transparent of what actually is going on. For those watching at home, just some of the rough numbers that currently at Mount Edgecombe. I know there's been some of the students that have left, and we're trying to rectify that. But Sitka has roughly 10, Community of Sitka. The rest of District A would be 11 additional students, and that includes places like Yakutat, Wrangell, Nocatee, Craig, Heidelberg, Hoonah. If you go to district around the Juneau area, they have 3. If we go up in Senator Merrick's area, they have 5. Senator Kronk has 18. Senator Hoffman, 91. Senator Olson, 87. There's 46 in Anchorage. And that doesn't count the 3 in Eagle River, 2 in Chugiak, 2 in Palmer, 7 in Wasilla, 1 in Big Lake. It's in addition. So it is broadly spread across the state. So with that, is it any? I'm going to go ahead and remove my objection to the adoption of the Amendment Number 2. Do we have further objection to the adoption of Amendment Number 2? Further objection to Amendment Number 2? Seeing none, Amendment Number 2 is adopted. Now we'll go to Amendment Number 3. Senator Merrick, Senator Kaufman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Amendment Number 3.
And I'll object for discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Don Young Port of Alaska is our state's largest and most critical cargo port. It serves 90% of Alaska's population. And each year, it moves more than 5 million tons of freight and fuel. Mr. Chairman, that is equivalent to 95 million Kelly Merricks. Can you imagine? Amendment Number 3 provides a $25 million appropriation to the port that will help keep money in the pockets of Alaskans from the Kenai Peninsula to the Mat-Su Borough and all along the rail belt. It also helps support our friends and neighbors in rural Alaska who already face some of the highest costs in the country just to get by. And as of this January, tariffs at the port have risen dramatically. A full shipping container that used to cost $9.50 now costs $75.50. That's an increase of nearly 800%. And who pays that? Alaskans do. So every dollar we appropriate offsets these increases, preventing an additional $2.50 in surcharges. That's real tangible savings for hardworking Alaskans across our state. In September, these tariffs are projected to rise by another $400 million. So, Mr. Chairman, we must act now. Let's pass Amendment Number 3 to ensure Alaskans are not further burdened by rising costs on the essentials they use every day. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Well, the brief ends. Back on the record, comments from other sponsors. Senator Kaufman, you have anything to say?
Yeah, thank you. I just kind of echo those comments made by my colleague. It's the port's often seen as benefiting Anchorage, but as was just described, the tremendous amount of goods and services that are enabled by that. It's an economic engine for the entire state. Its condition was dire. Is improving. The quality of the project work has climbed out of that period where with the sheet piles with the prior project that really damaged the reputation of the project's work that the port was doing. But they're doing good work with the money, and it's important, and it benefits all of Alaska. So, thank you.
Any other comments from other members? Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In concept, I would normally support this amendment. However, we have a finite amount of revenue, and as the chairman of the capital budget explained, there's a negotiation process. And if we would go forward with this, I assume that we would have to reduce the amount of funds that we would be spending in other areas. We're concentrating on school construction and want to keep those lists and go down as far as we can because those buildings are falling apart. And students that are trying to learn deserve better. And if we are not able to provide this major maintenance, we are going to see these schools continue to crumble, and the financial burden to the state of Alaska will be hundreds of millions of dollars to rebuild schools. So from a management standpoint, I think the chairman has submitted a proposal that will help educate the people of the state of Alaska and save the state of Alaska millions of dollars in the future. On, as I said, in any other given day, I would be more than supportive of reducing the costs of people throughout the state of Alaska. But when given the finite amount of revenue that we have, I will support the chairman's position to concentrate on educating our kids and maintaining the lists that have no partisanship and are following a list that have been prepared as described further described to the committee.
Any other comments? I've got a couple. Just in retrospect, the reason we went through the beginning, at the beginning of the meeting, walking through the capital budget, is to make sure it's clearly delineated where these funds came from in the capital budget, where the list came from, and how we're trying to do our best not to have politics in the lists. And so we, hunt and peck out of the $400 million deferred maintenance projects in K-12, and those that are at the table here get their schools and the other ones don't. We're starting at the top, going right down till the money runs out. The other body is going to add a similar amount of funds, is my expectation, and continue down the list. And where the cutoff is, it is. And hopefully those will be down far enough in that $400 million list that we'll make a significant dent. And some of those schools in the middle of the list and down are a lot of the smaller ones. So a $20 million, keeping within the revenue stream that we have with $23 a barrel, $73 a barrel, there's a finite amount of capital budget money. And as we put projects in, other projects have to come out. So this, in essence, would shrink the deferred maintenance of K-12, and the concentration has been on schools this year, not only in the retirement system, the BSA numbers, the maintenance, pretty much every avenue, including the dealing with the $100,000 penalty to bring teachers in from out of the country. We're trying to hit about every button we can find to help our schools. So this, my concern, is this would have an impact, substantial impact. The other issue is we don't have individual, you know, district projects all picked from around the state. So, you know, to treat everybody the same, it's better to stick with the list. And the other final point I'd like to make is it's my understanding that Anchorage still has $100 million sitting there in a pile from FY23. So we'll re-verify that from legislative finance for the floor. But my note here from Leg Finance is $100 million. That is a significant amount of money. So we'll have that re-verified and checked. But regardless of that, the impact would be significant on deferred maintenance. And hopefully, next year, we'll have a pretty freshed up list, and a lot of these projects will be off. Hopefully, we can get pushing the top 50 projects or some number on the list. And we'll know at the end of this session where we're at. We've also been encouraged by the administration to handle the deferred maintenance of the state, because, frankly, it's deplorable, not only within our K-12, but general assets held by the state through DOT. So with that, I maintain my objection.
Can we have a brief at ease?
We'll have a brief at ease.
Thank you.
Back on record. Mr. Parlow, come on forward. He's from legislative finance. He helps put the capital budget together. Sometimes he's the bearer of good news. Sometimes he's the bearer of bad news when we want to build stuff. Can you help us with this? Where is this note that I received from my trustee aide?
For the record, Michael Parlow. I'm the capital budget coordinator for legislative finance. When speaking with the Department of Commerce, who administers the $100 million grant that was appropriated in 2023, the status update that they gave us was that the $100 million was encumbered but not paid to the municipality of Anchorage. Yet, my understanding is that that appropriation, one of two $100 million appropriations made that year, had matching requirements. And I believe off the top of my head that the port had around $60 million of match set up, but not the full $100 million in order to receive the state funding. I can certainly verify that and get additional information to the committee.
Okay, I think that would be handy as we go through the process that we get a clear clarification of exactly, you know, the status of that, so there's everybody's got the same information, and then we can have the discussion or whatever takes place. But we have any questions? Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We clearly, whatever the status of that is, the total price tag on the project is more than that. And I want to just take a moment to applaud the municipality for raising substantially the funds that they're putting on the tariff, putting on their own fees and charges for this. There was a time when this project didn't have that kind of structure. It's a good project, and I hope that we're going to see it back again. I ultimately am going to support the capital budget's focus on schools that we've put together. We don't get far enough down the major maintenance list for any of my schools, but nobody is offering amendments at this table out of parochial interest. Nobody is offering amendments at this table out of regional interest. The unmet needs are a lot more than the money we have available. And so I hope we see this proposal again, but I'm not able to support it today.
Okay. We have any other comments? Go ahead and call the question. For adoption of Amendment Number 3.
Senator Keel?
No.
Senator Mayer?
Yes.
Senator Crom?
No.
Senator Kaufman?
Yes.
Senator Stedman?
No.
Senator Hoffman?
No.
Senator Olson?
No.
2 yeas, 5 nays.
Okay, Motion Number 3 fails. We have any further amendments from committee men, women? Any further comments, further discussions? Senator Hoffman can have a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 214 Finance Version G as amended from the committee with individual recommendations.
We have a motion to move Version G, Senate Bill 214 from committee with individual recommendations. We have objection. We have objection. Seeing no objection, we'll go on. Senator Hoffman.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Finance Committee direct the divisions of legislative finance and legislative legal to make technical and conforming changes to the bill as necessary.
Okay. Do we have any objection to that? Standard language for those watching at home. Okay. Well, that concludes our labor today on the capital budget. Our next meeting is tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. I'd like to thank Ledge Finance and all the work they've done and our staff putting this together and the effort to trying to make it fair across the state when there's a lot more needs than we have funds to address them. So we will adjourn and you're free to go after you sign the report. We are adjourned at 2:40. 2:40.